Today's teaching by Pastor Kevin Myers is week one of a spiritual breakthrough. This teaching is part of the series, I Need a Breakthrough. To receive additional copies of this message or to receive any past teachings, please contact 12 Stone Church at 678-990-8100 or visit us on the web at 12stone.com.
So welcome to week one of a spiritual breakthrough. Now, before I dive in, I've got good news for you. Those of you sitting in this room, sitting in Cafe Theater and sitting in Cornerstone, you may not know this, but we have 5 live services a weekend in this building. Y'all don't have to come at 11 o'clock. There are options for you. It's just an FYI. You might want to think about Saturday night at 6 o'clock. You might want to think about 1 o'clock after this service or 6 o'clock Sunday. Those are just options, but we don't mind. We'll make room. You show up. Let's get at this. Here's the question for the day. You ready? Are you drawn in or are you indifferent? That is the first fill in the blank on your teaching notes, right at the top, back of the bulletin, if you care to follow along. Are you drawn in? Are you indifferent? See, that's what happens when you have an experience or when you're exposed to something. You're either drawn in or you're indifferent. We could illustrate this if you would put a 1, 2, 3, 4 somewhere at the top of your notes. And in doing so, I'm going to give you 4 advertisements, and then I want you, after each one, to write down accordingly, are you drawn into that? Or are you indifferent? So, let's give it a shot. Right off the top, this one is entitled, How You Change Your Life. Check it out. Obviously, that's about Harley Davidson. It's motorcycling. So, are you drawn in? God would say yes. Somebody over here would say yes. I know everybody who knows Jesus would say yes. Or are you indifferent? Okay, you're one or the other. Here's the second one. This one is entitled No Cup, C-U-P. No cup is safe. Check it out.
Any questions?
Not bad.
Oh, it's going to be like that, huh? Ah, someone wants to play.
He's trying to keep up with the old guy, you know?
Dude, is that your real hair?
Is that all you got?
Go. Go. I just can't miss today. Do you ever get days like that? Hey, Tiger, you looking? I won't win this. How'd you do that?
You'll learn.
All about golf, and obviously the old man always wins. I'm liking that part. So, are you drawn in? Are you indifferent? Next one. Blow it up. Check it out.
Skylanders, the amazing new video game with toys come to life.
Let's go, Skylanders! Yeah!
Zook's gotta get through that gate.
Blow it up!
Wait, he's got the key.
Who cares? Blow it up!
Zook's in.
Now he has to get over that wall.
New idea. Blow it up!
Is that your answer for everything?
I couldn't hear you because it got blown up!
Ah, Skylanders. Some of you parents are caught in that with your children. Video games. Are you drawn in or are you indifferent? Jot it down. Here's the last one. Bublé's music on my mind. Check it out.
Fly with me. Let's fly away. Just say
Starbucks Frappuccino coffee drink. It's you time.
Ah, Bublé's music. Are you drawn in or are you indifferent? Now, here's the point. It's kind of different for all of us, right? I mean, I could illustrate with my own family or a few of the members of my family. When it comes to Harley-Davidson motorcycles, I am drawn in along with God the Father, Son, and Spirit. And so that's kind of a group thing. But my son, Jake, the 18-year-old, is indifferent. Oh, but when it comes to golf, Jake is drawn in. But Jaden, the 9-year-old, he's indifferent. Oh, but Skylanders, video games, Jaden's drawn in. His mom, Marsha, she's indifferent. Bublé's music, I said the music. Marsha's drawn in. And me, I'm indifferent. See, we're all kind of different in what draws us in. I was reminded of how distinctly different we are when I took my son Jake golfing this past summer in Helen, Georgia. He wanted to play at Innsbrook Resort there. And when we got in town, it was really early. The only place we could eat is Huddle House. Anybody ever eat at a Huddle House? That's just something to remember in life. And so it was really quite crowded that morning because a whole bunch of motorcyclists had come through town and they were enjoying breakfast there on a morning ride. And I have to admit that this was one of those groups, kind of rode hard, put away wet groups. Anyhow, that's how we talk about them. And so we were sitting, finally got our seat and looking over the landscape. And Jake's looking around the room. He's looking at all the colorful characters. He looks at me, and then he gets that little smirk on his face. Hey, Dad, these are your peeps, aren't they? He said, mine are at the country club. I see you are. Oh, such a smart butt. So, you know, we laughed it off, have some fun. You know, we're all different. We're drawn in by different things. And who cares, really? Come on, who cares? I mean, if it's motorcycling, if it's golf, if it's video games, or if it's a style of music, it's not like any of that really changes your life. But when Jesus asks the question, now everything changes. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is asking the question. Only his question is, are you spiritually drawn in? Or are you spiritually indifferent? And on that question, everything in your life changes. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 13, page 978 in your worship center Bibles, just underneath your chair if you want to follow along as I read Matthew chapter 13. We'll begin with verse 3. Jesus is speaking to a large crowd. Right at the edge of the water, he jumps in the boat, backs up a little so he can speak to him, and he begins to speak in what's called parables, pictures, stories. Verse 3, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. Along the what? Along the path. And the birds came and ate it up. Some, that is some of the seed, fell on rocky, what kind? Rocky places. Where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns. Among what? Thorns. Which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. And then whoever has ears, let him hear. Jesus is asking a rather significant question. Are you spiritually drawn in or are you spiritually indifferent? And this question does change your life. He's giving a parable, a picture. He's describing the seed which is God's words. When God speaks, it's truth. When God speaks his words, those words are designed to land on, if you will, the dirt, the soil of our heart, our life, our mind, our soul. And there are several responses that we give. Four of them Jesus describes here. Jesus is doing the very thing that he's talking about. As he speaks, he is imitating this parable. He is speaking God's words. He is God in human flesh, God the Son. He knows that he's going to fulfill the love of God for all mankind. He's eventually going to give his life on the cross to cover our sin debt. And he's foretelling what the disciples will do. For the church will launch in the book of Acts, and the disciples will go out, and they will sow seed. They will speak the word of God, and it will land on the hearts of people. But there will be four different kinds of responses to the truth when it goes out. It is their hope when they go out and sow the seed that you would be drawn in, that men and women would be drawn in to this amazing love of God, and you would change your heart from indifference. It's what we do every weekend here. This is sowing the seed, what I'm doing right now, what we're doing when we read the Bible, what we do when we teach through. And you are the soil, the human heart. This communication this weekend, this moment of teaching right now, is in hopes that you will deal with your indifference toward God, for many of us are, and that you would turn from it. You see, there's always a response, and that response, drawn in or indifferent, will change your life. So if you have ears to hear, Jesus says, if you have the ability to discern what's going on, you'll understand how weighty this is. In fact, he's literally giving a conclusion. I put it this way in your notes. If you're one of those, again, who follow along, take notes. Drawn in over indifferent will save your life. Drawn in over indifferent will save your life. In other words, when he says, if you have ears to hear, let you hear. If you got to get a hold of what's hanging in the balance here. Your eternity, hear me, your eternity is hanging in the balance. Literally. Your relationship with God, your Father in heaven, is hanging in the balance. God's purpose for you here on earth is hanging in the balance. The quality of your life here on earth, not to mention eternity, including your relationships on earth, is hanging in the balance. In fact, I put a note to myself here, my own notes. I wrote, I spiritually break down. See, God, you need to know this. I spiritually break down with indifference. That's what it does to you. It is the spiritual breakdown. And I spiritually break through with drawn in. That's how serious it is in your life. In fact, in the rest of the verses of chapter 13, verses 10 to 23, Jesus gives his disciples a private session kind of insight. And he teaches the impact, the implications of this parable on our lives spiritually. He talks about four people. In fact, I'm going to take it to the whiteboard and we'll just talk through it together. He talks about four different kinds of people. In each case, the seed is sown. The truth of God's word gets communicated. In each case, the soil, the dirt, is designed, created to receive the seed and reproduce. But in each case, the condition of the soil is different. And therefore, the results are different. And you are one of these four people. The first one, it falls on the path. Say it with me, on the what? And really, when it falls on the path, I can describe this person. This person is really about my kingdom. That's really what they're about. And we can just put in parentheses, which means no God. My kingdom, no God. Here's what Jesus is describing. He goes on to describe to the disciples. What's happening right here is that this person hears the word of God comes to them, but they are indifferent. They're not drawn in. It's the path, meaning that there's dirt that people keep walking along. And when seed falls on that particular path, it's already been trampled. It's compact. It's hard, as in hard-hearted. And so though the seed was sown, though it lands on your ears and your heart, it does not penetrate. You're too hard. You're indifferent. And so it never gets through. And the birds come along and they steal it. Literally, Jesus applies it. And the evil one, Satan, comes along, steals that. And it's like you never heard it. And these are people who say, well, there is no God. This is no big deal. And in a church like 12 Stone, over years, we'll have thousands of people walk in who are hard-hearted. They'll actually hear the truth. But they will be so hard-hearted, it never penetrates. And they will walk out unchanged. Is that you? Are you among that kind of indifferent, hard-hearted person? See, because to you, this decision of being spiritually drawn in or spiritually indifferent is like a whatever. It's no big deal. It's no more bigger deal than choosing motorcycling, golf, style of music, or video games. All the same, whatever. There's a second. Rocky. Rocky soil. Say it with me. What kind of soil? Rocky. And this person, you could describe as they are about my kingdom, but God helps. See, God's been added. God's not taking center place. God's just been added. In the rocky soil, what Jesus is describing is that this person hears the good news of God's love and forgiveness and acceptance, and they receive it joyfully, quickly, immediately. They get excited about it. Now, keep listening. So they are drawn in, but very quickly they become indifferent. See, the top of the soil is soft, so the seed gets in. The plant sprouts quickly. It looks promising. But underneath the soil are rocks. They're hard-hearted too. They're indifferent. They're just below the surface, so you couldn't see it. These are people who have high emotion and low devotion. They responded quick, but it was superficial. They didn't put any roots down. And a church like 12 Stone, we'll see over years, thousands of people come in. And they'll say yes to God, but they will live no to God. Are you among them? You call yourself a Christian, but you pretty much live like a non-Christian. You live on your own terms. Superficial, shallow. There's a third. Jesus calls it thorns. Say it with me. What soil? Thorns. The thorns we could describe as my kingdom, still about my kingdom, but in parentheses we'll call it, but God's kingdom is a close second. Say, no, I want God in my life. I think God's important in my life. This is the one that is drawn in. But given a period of time, they become indifferent in specific arenas. They become indifferent when it comes to the worries of life and the wallet of life. It comes to things like money and pressure and stress. This is the one that gets all wrapped up in the material, physical world, and the spiritual becomes secondary. And they can't seem to get over that. The description is that the seed gets in the soil, but it's not weeded. And because it's not weeded, the weeds overtake the wheat. They outgrow it. They overwhelm it. They get all the nutrients in the sunshine. And it chokes out the life of the plant. And the plant comes to nothing. It stalls out. And in a church like 12 Stone, over years, we'll have thousands of people come in who won't, so to speak, weed the garden. Oh, and they're drawn in. But they just become Christian consumers. Is that you? Talk like you're a Christian, but you're so wrapped up in the things of the world that your kingdom is really before God's. And so you're indifferent toward giving, serving, reaching spiritually lost people, changing lives. It's pretty much just about consuming. It's about you when you show up, if you show up, because you do it conveniently. And when Jesus gets done describing those three soils, those three crops, everybody listening to him in that day knew that no farmer wants any of those. Nobody wants any of those crops. You know why? Because those crops produce nothing. They come to nothing. And by the way, the point is that's what it does in your life. If you're one of these places spiritually, it comes to nothing in your life. See, the goal all along was actually to move toward what Jesus is going to describe as this fourth soil. This fourth soil is the reproducing soil. This is the good soil. This is the one that is truly about God's kingdom. This is the one that is drawn in. This is the one that loathes indifference. This is the one that gets beyond hard-hearted. This is the one who puts roots down. This is the one that weeds, so to speak, and cleans it up, cleans it out. And here's my question to you. If you were to be honest to God right now, which one are you? If you were to circle one, because God knows right now which one you are. Do you? Are you the hard-hearted? Just indifferent right off the top? Are you the rocky? Quickly drawn in? High emotion, low devotion? You're superficial and you fall away quickly? The thorns, the worries, and the wallet of life just kind of consume you? Haven't weeded it out? Or are you over here, a reproducing the good soil, 30, 60, 100-fold? Listen, next week, we're going to talk about number 3 and number 4. Because many of us wrestle with this feeling like our spiritual life is being choked out and we don't know how to break through. And we wonder, what does it actually mean to break through? What's a reproducing life? How do you get to that place? Because we chase that. We deep down, we really, that's what we believe God's promised us. We'll do that next week. For the rest of today, we're just going to sit and chat about the path and rocky soil. The hard-hearted and the superficial that is really hard-hearted underneath, because both struggle with the same thing, indifference. And what Jesus is communicating here is that indifference will cost you your life. You need to know that. We hardly ever talk about indifference. Perhaps it is the great sin, the greatest sin that many of us commit. It is our indifference toward God. And what you need to know about God is not indifferent toward you. He is not. Jesus knows in Matthew 13 as he's teaching that he is going to be the one that communicates with his life how much God loves us. That he's ultimately going to give his life voluntarily on the cross. For God so loved the world, he gave his son. Whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He knows that the love of God is being communicated to you. In Acts chapter 2, the summary of God's love is captured by Peter. You might want to turn there, page 1091, page 1091, Acts chapter 2. And here you find this amazing summary of how much God loves you. In fact, let me just go there. God loves you. You got to hear it. God loves you more than you will ever know. And sometimes we don't believe that. You know, sometimes if you've been messed up, growing up in a family that's dysfunctional or broken, or your father was indifferent to you. I mean, that was my experience. After my parents divorced, you know, 11, 12 years old, my dad chose to be indifferent toward me. Man, that'll mess you up. It took me a long time to get through and over that. Now, I don't know how a dad or a mom can be indifferent toward their own child. I just know some do. Some are. I want you to hear this. You cannot project that on your heavenly Father. You cannot. That is not your heavenly Father. That's not how God feels toward you. God was not expressing who he is to me through my earthly father. God's love for you has no equal. And he could do no greater and no more than what's summarized in Acts chapter 2. And by the way, what we're about to read is sowing seed. How will you receive this? Do you have the ears to hear? Verse 22. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep hold on him. Drop down to verse 32. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Verse 36, therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. The Lord who loves you, the Messiah who restores you to God the Father, forgives you and gives you once again eternal life. This God who loves you more than you will ever know is even right now reaching out to you, sets up moments in your life like this service to restore you to himself. What will you do with this love of God? Will you remain hard-hearted? Will you remain indifferent? See, I can't describe divine love. It's too great. It's beyond anything I could illustrate. I can give you a small human illustration. For example, have you ever had someone help you out when you were down and out? Have you ever had that? Can you come up with the picture, the face, the name of the person who helped you when you were in a place of need? I mean, I had a man who was kinder to me in my teen years than my own earthly father. Maybe the picture of the person for you is your earthly father or your mom or somebody like that. But if you get that picture, that person, that name in your mind, then you're going to understand this video clip you're about to see. This moment recently in the life of Steve Harvey, who as a stand-up comedian carrying out his show, had a moment in the celebration of his 56th birthday. Callers were calling in to offer birthday wishes. And in the clip you're about to see, he just communicated to the producer, I told you I don't want any surprises. Ah, but there is one. One caller is calling in, and this call is a surprise. Listen in.
This one is a surprise. Okay, I said no surprises. Sorry. That's what you're saying to me, Alex? Sorry. Okay, this is a surprise. Calling in via satellite from Orlando. Let's see who it is.
Hi, Steve. This is Rich Liss from Orlando, Florida, and I called you to wish you a happy birthday and ask you one question. Do you still love me, baby? I'm waiting for my answer, buddy.
Hey, man. I love you, man.
I love you too, man. Yeah. You want to say hi to your girlfriend?
Who, Becky there?
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Say hi.
Hey, Becky.
Hi, Steve.
Jesus. We love you, buddy.
These people.
And we wish you the best happy birthday.
I was 26 years old, man. I was struggling. Mm-hmm. I didn't have nothing. And these people owned the furniture store in Cleveland. And they took me in and gave me my first contract with my little carpet cleaning company. When I became a comedian at 27, I didn't have money to travel. They gave me an account at their travel agency. And man, I ran up a bill like $11,000 just trying to travel and make it. Them people right there. You know, man, they helped me out. Hey, man, I got money now, Rich.
You got money?
Matter of fact, hey, Rich, I'm going to send a plane to pick up you and Becky. I'm going to fly y'all to Chicago for the show. I've been looking for you for years, man. Yeah.
You found me, baby. All right.
Have a great birthday, Steve.
Have a great birthday.
Thank you. I want to say, man.
What?
You bailed me, man. I never forgot it. Thank you, man.
Okay. We love you.
We love you, Steve.
I love y'all too, man. All right, I didn't need
you. Bye-bye.
Man, that is a great clip, isn't it? I got to tell you, that got me. I watched that and, you know, I'm doing this and I'm hoping the family isn't looking. I'm like, golly. That just got me. You notice that Steve Harvey wasn't indifferent when he saw them and he heard their name. I mean, he was drawn in. because these were people who loved him. I mean, when Steve Harvey was nobody, these people loved him. And they took him in. They carried him into a new life, debt and all. In his own words, they bailed me. And if you would take that and multiply that by a million, then you would know, why sometimes, at least for me, I'm in moments of worship and I just tear up, and sometimes I just cry at the name of Jesus because he bailed me. I mean, isn't that really why when any of us are in worship and we offer our just deep heart gratitude to the God who loves us and created us, I mean, isn't that why you're drawn in? Because he bailed you from your sin, from death, from being spiritually lost, from a meaningless, empty, nowhere, no hope life. That's how much God loves us. And Jesus restored us to the Father. And if you knew how much God loved you, you would not be indifferent. You would be drawn in. And what more can he do than what he's already done to give you moments like this and say, I love you. What more could I possibly do? And so at the name of Jesus, man, I get messed up in a really good way. And that's, I think, why David wrote in Psalm 95, if this day you hear God's voice, do not harden your heart. Man, don't get indifferent again to God. Because indifference is your death. And this day God will speak to you. Don't do that hard-hearted thing again. Indifference is costing you everything. This is a good day to change your heart. And that's what happened to the people in the rest of that story in Acts chapter 2. In verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. To the what? To the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. I mean, you get restored to God the Father and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Today is the day to soften your heart before God. To move toward him, to repent, which means to turn from and to turn from sin and to turn to God, to be baptized. I mean, literally, it happened in that moment. People were just cut to the heart and said, that's it, no more indifference to this God who loves me. I'm just going to be drawn into him. And they repented, asked for forgiveness of sin, and they were baptized right there. In the moment. I mean, baptism is a sacred, symbolic act. Literally, Colossians 2 describes that the water is symbolic of cleansing, and everybody knew it in that day. And that when you are laid back in baptism, you are identifying with Jesus' burial. You are dying with him. You are dying to your sin. And when you come up out of the water, it is symbolic of resurrection to new life. You have new life in Christ. This is what he does for you, and it is symbolized by this public expression of baptism. And I want you to hear this. As I turn this service over to the campus pastors, we are going to invite you into that kind of a spiritual breakthrough. Repent and be baptized here and now. So what are you going to do with the love of God? And what are you going to do with your indifference? So right here in this room, all of you sitting in the cafe theater, all of you sitting in Cornerstone, this is a moment of spiritual breakthrough. And we have sensed for some time that God was preparing this weekend. And so we're going to invite you to the bold move of what happened in Acts 2 to repent and be baptized. And the truth of the matter is, if some of you, your life ended, you would not spend eternity with your Father in heaven who loves you. Your indifference has kept you from him, and you are on your own, and you quite like it that way. But something in you has a sense that that is going to cost you everything, and it will. And maybe today, God would be so gracious as to call you to himself, and you would have new ears to hear, and you would repent, which simply means this prayer: Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. And be baptized. And I mean literally. You walk right up front here on either side, and you'll step into the baptismal waters, and the first question will be, do you trust Jesus for the forgiveness of sin? Yes, I do. Do you commit to follow him all the days of your life? Yes, I do. And you will be laid back and brought up with all the symbolism and the celebration that goes with it. And you're thinking, are you crazy? I mean, I did not show up today to get baptized. I wasn't prepared for this. Here's the good news. God was and we are. So we have towels for you. Put your keys and your money and your shoes to the side. And when you're done being baptized, you can go in the restroom. You can throw it in a bag that we have for you. And you can go home in Walmart sweatsuits because we bought one for you. You won't look as good, but you'll be better on the inside. So this is going to be a great moment and a great celebration. This day, this moment is for you. And for some of you, you have never said yes to God. You know, I don't know why God orchestrated the day for you to be here, but do not take that lightly. And for some of you, you've said yes to Christ and you've never been baptized and you've been resistant and indifferent toward that. And this is your moment to seal it and go public. And now I want to speak to a second group, so hear me. Hear me in the other theaters, hear me in this room. Some of you have a sense that you are kind of like that superficial soil. High emotion, low devotion. You don't have a lot of roots down. And you're thinking, well, I need to be rebaptized. No, you don't. You need to rededicate. To what? Rededicate. And so these vases of water will sit here in front and in various locations. Go ahead and look around the room and you'll see them. They're also available in the Cafe Theater, Cornerstone Theater. And this is for a moment of rededication for you. You've already said yes to Jesus. You've already been baptized, but you know that you are living on your own terms. You keep saying you're a follower of Christ, and God's like, really? Little evidence. And you need fresh surrender, rededication. This is a sacred moment. So you have your prayer of recommitment to the Lord where you're seated. And then you get up from your seat, taking a little piece of paper that you rip off the bulletin or off from an offering envelope or anything, and your name is very personal, and you bring that name to one of the locations where there's a vase, and you just put that and stir it in the water as symbolic of you personally dying to yourself, being buried with him and resurrected, a moment of your rededication. It's a significant, sacred moment. Now, before any of us respond and take action on this, I want you to listen in on the story of one 12-stoner who sat in the same place you are, Ingrid, and had that internal dialogue with God that you're beginning to have right now. And I'm going to interrupt her video, and then I'm going to lead you to the steps we'll take together. During this video, the offering is received. By the way, if you're guests, you're not obligated to give. Let the basket pass. Church family, you know what it means. You know what God's asked of you in honoring him, and you just have a heart of gratitude. Can't stop you from giving. Many of you give online, easiest, best way to give. Many of you use the offering envelopes. But listen, hear me. You stay focused, everyone. This is a significant moment before God, and you're wrestling with, what will I do with the love of God? I pray to God you break through your indifference, because your dialogue with God is happening right now, kind of like Ingrid's. Listen in, and I'll interrupt in a moment.
My name is Ingrid Griggs, and my husband Scott and I have been married about 11 years. We have three children together, Noah, Eli, and Libby, and for the last 5 years, we have been attending 12 Stone. I accepted Christ's salvation when I was 18, and over the course of the next 10 years, I really felt that I was living out my faith in a way that was pleasing to God. After watching a series of baptisms, I began to realize there was another step that God wanted me to take, and he began to press in on me that I needed to be baptized. I kind of told God back that I didn't really want to be baptized, and I didn't think that was necessary. I didn't want to get out of my seat. I didn't want to make that initial I'm standing up now and have people look at me. I did not want to walk down the aisle and have people look at me. I did not want to get in line and have someone come up to me and ask me where I was in my faith and I'd have to explain it to them. And I didn't want to get wet. I didn't want to have to get out and worry about falling. I mean, you name it. I just didn't want to do it. I had no problem committing to God, but the whole actual act, I wanted to pass on. Then PK announced that following the At the Movies series, he would offer baptism. And I thought, okay, I can go down. I can do it then. I will just slip down unnoticed. No big deal. And God would be happy and I would be done. So the service started and I felt sick to my stomach the whole time. And as the sermon drew to an end, it just got even worse. And once the baptism started, I stood up, but I was frozen in place. My family wasn't with me. There wasn't even anyone sitting near me. And I just felt very alone. I remember thinking, I love God so much. He's done so much for me. Why can't I just go down there? He's not asking me to walk across the stage and act like a chicken. I just have to get in the water and get out. And I was just frozen. I watched everyone else go down, wishing I could stand up too, thinking it's no big deal. And I knew, having watched so many baptisms, that everybody was rooting these people on, that it really is true. All of heaven rejoices, and the whole congregation was rejoicing. And I couldn't do it. I was just stuck. He had a promise for me, and he had a blessing for me, and it was very easy, and I didn't accept, and I didn't do my part.
And right now, an internal dialogue goes on between you and God, and many times we get stuck. And I don't know why you went through all the effort to show up today, but I know God has something for you. And some of you have never said yes to Jesus, and here you are. And you'll sense it in your spirit as it wells up. Man, deal with your indifference. Say yes to God. Just get up in just a moment. I'm going to invite you to get up and walk to the far right, far left in this room. And that includes you in the cafe theater, you in the Cornerstone Theater. You're not separate from this moment. You made the effort. You showed up. God is speaking to you. You're going to have to get up from the table, the chairs, and those various arenas and to walk right into this room and to get on the right and the left side. Don't you hesitate. Don't get stuck. Some of you have never said yes to Jesus, and all in one day you're going to say yes to Jesus, get baptized, and all of heaven's going to celebrate. And I know there are those among us. Simultaneously, there are those among us for rededication is the marking moment. And you can do that in those respective rooms as well as this room as you see the vases in various locations. Don't get stuck. Now I want you to hear the rest of Ingrid's story, and I pray that that's your story, where she didn't leave it there. She went the next day and she went after it. So during this next 60 to 90 seconds of the video, hear me, it is your time to move. For those of you who are going to say yes to Jesus, those who are going to get baptized, you may be a follower of Christ but never been baptized, this is your moment. You will get up during this video and after, but during the video it begins and after, and go to the respective sides, come across from any of the theaters, Cafe Theater, Cornerstone Theater, walk in this room, get in line. When the baptisms start live, then you are free to get up from your seat at any time during those baptisms and have your rededication moment with God. Listen to the rest of her story. This is your time. Come.
When I woke up the next morning, I still felt awful. I knew I needed to get baptized and I needed to do it within the week. I figured I would just schedule an appointment and get baptized the next weekend at church, but my husband jumped in and he suggested I go up to the 12 Stone Hamilton Mill campus. I raced up there only to find out that they were not having their baptisms and kind of stood there wondering, now what do I do, when the greeter suggested I try Flowery Branch. I started driving up there, and at this point I was thinking, I'm going to get baptized today if I have to drive to every church within a 10-mile radius. It was just going to happen. But 12 Stone Flowery Branch was offering their baptisms, and I was able to finally go through with it. Right after the baptism, I felt so joyful and such peace. I was just so excited. It felt so good to be able to show God just a little small token of the love that He gives us every single day. And There was such joy and obedience that it just left me with such a peace.